You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls His people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
Welcome to the front line. This is David Frankhoor, the host that knows how to run the board so that we go on the air and stay on the air, I guess. But always delighted to share this opportunity with my two wonderfully God-filled co-hosts, Ed Skiba, welcome.
Uh-oh. Another beautiful South Florida morning. I just had a call as I arrived, another one from Washington, D.C. It was about one of the same subjects. They asked me what I thought of Red China. I said, no problem, as long as it doesn't clash with the tablecloth.
Okay. Oh, boy.
All right, Ed. Well, we'll have to put that on the back burner for a program sometime. And Ann Limhoko, welcome.
Good morning. You know, I always like to say this is the day the Lord has made.
Amen. Let us
and
rejoice.
We have to rejoice in every day. So let's
and
be glad
in it.
Amen.
Yes. And that's a whole other program, though, babe, being glad in every day.
We try to keep good perspective.
Speaking of programs, before we move on to our interview this morning, which, by the way, folks, let me just give you a prep on that we have Donna True with us today. And those of you that know the name know that Donna works with the Martin County the Council on Aging. And she's situated at the Kane Center, and there's tons of things, wonderful things that the Council on Aging does with and for the elderly, of which half of us here around this table are. And we're going to be talking, particularly if there's any title for the episode today, it's going to be Christmas with Alzheimer's, and then we're going to unpack that. But before we do that, we have a brand new program here at WCNO. We're going to be airing for the first time on December the 3rd, which is a Tuesday. And it's called, at this moment in time, the program team, we've been going back and forth on the title. And I love it. It was so organic, you know, so godly organics that we come together and we all have an investment, a passion for this. But it's called A Biblical Response. That's what we're going to be using as the title right now. But it's a program that's going to offer biblical responses to the hot button issues in the news, and we've done this on every live program we've done pretty much. This
Amen.
Program
we've Amen.
Touched on issues that are current events, if you will, in America primarily, but issues that have a biblical foundation that we can turn to. You know, what does the Bible say? But it proves itself for one thing. But it is also where we go to know the Lord's plan, the Lord's word, what God's desire is for us, and how we respond to the things happening around us. That is the way we go as Christians.
Amen.
That's what we do.
Amen.
And it seems that God has brought us together in the Spirit of God to have a live program. Ann will be on it, Ann Limhoko. Also have two other names you've become familiar with here, Keith Masters and Stephanie Jacobson. And the four of us, primarily I'm going to host and moderate, make sure we don't go off the air. Another job. But to look at one or two issues as the Lord leads, what's going on that's coming, being presented to us through the news that demands a biblical response.
Yes.
And I will say, because a lot of church folk don't go to the Bible the first time. I'm not saying all of them don't, but a lot of them don't. They end up being afraid and anxious and, you know, don't get any answers unless you ask God for the answer.
Amen.
Amen.
And so
that's
this is
key.
What we're going to provide as a means of encouraging people to know what the Bible says, and, of course, encouraging them to go back to the Word and check out what we say.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, I like the fact that you said the way we respond.
Yeah.
To what the world is doing, biblically respond. Because so many Christians that don't know what the Word says react to what's happening in the world.
Yeah.
That's right.
And reaction is knee-jerk. It's not good.
And it's my mere flesh.
Uneducated, yeah. Fleshly.
Yes.
You need to know what the word says and respond in a biblical manner. Mm. And that's perfect.
Amen. So praise that's God. What God's going to have us do. And I'm excited about it, but always not anxious at all. But, you know, whenever God gets you to do something, you're both very excited about it and kind of twitchy, too, because, you know, you realize that you're going to be stepping out in faith, and God's going to lead you. You know, we're going to do as much prep as we can, and yet when we go on the air like we are today, it's all right out there. Yep. You know, it's just going to come as it needs to come. Well, that's anyway. It's going to be every Tuesday starting December the 3rd from 11 to noon here on WCNO 89.9 FM. And we hope you'll tune in, and if you like it,
I'll look forward to that.
Yeah. So, but back to today's program, The Front Line. Again, Donna True, welcome again.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be back.
You're in your traditional seat here in the studio.
Yes, has my name on it.
It does. It really. We ought to get you a director's chair with it. And just as a preamble to say, and I've known Donna long before I came to work here. When I was a hospice chaplain, our paths intersected several times because many of my patients had Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia. And at that time, Donna worked with Alzheimer's Community Care. Is that?
Alzheimer's Association.
Association, right. And she led support groups for caregivers, and some met at the Mays Center, which for Treasure Coast Hospice is the main building. And I attended on occasion because I had some of my families were coming to that, and I just wanted to know what I could do, because you know you're always learning, right? So I got to know Donna. I got to know her heart, her passion for helping not just those with Alzheimer's and dementia, but all the elderly folk that really need education. And if you're elderly, and there's nothing wrong with being elderly, by the way, we all get there sooner or later, hopefully. but as we reach a certain stage in our life, and I'm there, and Ed's there, where everything changes.
I'm beyond there.
Are you beyond there, right? We'll have you back on the program for another. What happens beyond being elderly? But there are so many things that we need to know that would alleviate a lot of the questions, the frustration of trying to deal with stuff on our own. You know, before we go off the air on this program, I'll certainly be asking Donna what's available through the work at the Kane Center, all the resources that are there for those of us that are in that age range and in that need range, too. Believe me, we all need things because we don't know as much as we need to know. So that's kind of our job today, is help you know more. But particularly, Donna, and we've talked a lot about this, and you've had a lot of experience and you have a lot of knowledge when it comes to dealing with Alzheimer's and dementia issues. But it struck me this a couple of months ago when I brought this idea to you, or it came to me anyway, and the title is Christmas with Alzheimer's, and it because we're now coming into the big holiday season, a lot of family gatherings, and when you have a loved one that is dealing with dementia, and maybe they're living with you, or even if they're in an assisted living or a nursing home, and you want to keep them as part of the family gatherings. But there's a whole level, another level of investment, of time, of frustration that comes with that. And then you have the familial dimension. You have people coming from maybe all over the country, and most of them have only heard about your loved one. They may have known them for years, and maybe have had a tremendous amount of time with them, and yet because of distance, they're not familiar or sensitive to what they've been going on in terms of their dementia and their decline. And you tried to tell them, but they're still not getting it. So when they finally come to the family table and they see for themselves for the first time what this current state of their loved one, it can be very shocking. I'm just going to open up the floor now, Donna. Take it from there.
Thank you so much. Well, I appreciate your concerns because it's true. I often think the family members who come into town, we often get phone calls after the holidays because they haven't seen, maybe it's a parent in such a long time, and they really do see the changes that their other parent doesn't really pick up on. They're there every day. It's kind of like losing weight. If you see somebody every single day, you don't really notice. But if you haven't seen them in 6 months or a year and they're like half the person they were, it's a huge change.
Absolutely.
So we look at it like that. And to me, it's really important to try to put yourself in the shoes of the person with the memory changes. When we're talking about memory changes, we're not so much talking about long-term memory, what happened when they were in kindergarten or what happened 50 or 60 years ago. We are talking short-term, something just from 2 minutes ago, something from 5 minutes ago, something from last night. Guests may come to the house and they're spending the night, and the next morning the person with a memory loss just sort of wakes up and doesn't even remember that they came into town. So it's a different world. And everybody can, I mean, there's so many different stages, but we never want to underestimate the person who is dealing with memory changes, because they are still brilliant. They just don't remember things short term. So that's, we want to treat them like royalty. Just, you know, they're still who they are.
That's right. And love, if you really love somebody, love is a powerful bridge, builds a powerful bridge to the heart to heart. But what we have to do is find, we have to be willing ourselves to look at that person from a different angle and to develop different ways of communicating or understanding communicating. And I think part of our listeners out there, part of our audience, are going to be people that may be traveling to family gatherings where there is someone in that family gathering who'll be there and is dealing with memory issues, dementia issues, and however far along they are, these people are going to need some tools. So they can, because otherwise, you know, I mean, I've been in family situations where, you know, it's so awkward that nobody knows what to do, and they gather around the table and they're very uncomfortable, and you know, we can help with some of that.
I've had that same situation. My mother-in-law went into that stages of dementia. I can't remember if it was Alzheimer's or not, but it was dementia. And she was in a nursing home in Missouri. And we went there to visit, and my sister-in-law kept saying, oh, you know, you can't even talk to her. She can't do this. She can't do this. I sat for an hour and a half and talked to her. She still smoked, so I sat outside with her and let her smoke. And my sister-in-law and my wife looked at me and said, how did you possibly do that? What I found out was both of them, I think it was self-defense. It was a protection thing that they put up. That can't be mom. Mom can't be in that position. You know? They didn't say that, but I could see it in their demeanor. And they were having a hard time accepting it. And I think most families do have a difficult time. Maybe not being a blood relative, I was able to sit and talk to her. And, of course, David and I were both hospice chaplains, so we had a lot of experience with that. I could sit and talk with her and allow her to be herself.
That's good.
And not really promote the dementia, but talk around it, speak around it, and make her comfortable with it too. And the families just can't seem to do that. Blood relatives are so, I think, emotionally shattered by the fact that this is happening, in many cases in denial, that they just can't interact constructively with the patient, with the person with Alzheimer's.
I think that's such a beautiful example that you spent that time talking with her and just everything. It didn't matter if she forgot something. It was fine. But it's such a different world. And one of the things, the first thing, families will come into town and somebody will say, oh, do you remember? Do you know who I am? Do you remember my name? And those are test questions for people with memory loss. And how do you expect somebody with a memory loss disorder to remember they have a new grandchild and the name of the new grandchild, or even their own children sometimes if they're quite advanced? That does not happen to everybody, but it can happen. And so the test questions, we feel like we need to know if they know who we are. I say turn it around. You know who they are. You love them. Accept them as they are. And just if they look at you with a confused look, hey, I'm Donna. I'm your favorite grandchild.
I felt that my wife and my sister-in-law, when they spoke with my mother-in-law in that case, they really increased her sense of frustration by You just said that. You just said that. Oh. Don't you remember? Don't you know who I am?
Oh. Come on, that guys. Makes it worse. Yeah,
it increased my mother-in-law's awareness, I guess, of her condition.
She has dementia, yeah.
Without letting her just be comfortable with who she was at that time.
They didn't learn the rules. There's a whole new set of rules when somebody has a memory loss disorder, and one of them is do not argue. Do not say, don't you remember?
Exactly.
Because then I'm looking at the caregiver, I'm saying, hello, what's going on here? You know they have a memory loss disorder. Yeah. It's all about expectations. Why are you expecting them to remember? Because you haven't yet learned the tools. Yeah. It's human nature. It's a learning experience.
Well, I've often felt that it's more than just that. It's that the expectations. It's a fear.
It's
an insecurity on the family's part.
Yes, it's also a lot of
this can't be happening. You know,
right.
The hardest thing to get across to a family member who has a loved one who has Alzheimer's dementia is when you're interacting with them. It's not about you. It's about them.
Amen.
Yes.
And it's a hard pivot for some people because if you begin to realize it's all about them, one thing, you won't ask the test questions because all you're doing is trying to see how far along they are and how much they remember to make you comfortable.
Yep. Amen.
Yes.
You know, forget that. This is not your comfort. We don't care. I mean, literally, they don't care.
Yeah.
We need to take the lead to enable our loved one with dementia to be comfortable. Because, you know, you may not see when you ask a test question, you may not see the war that goes on inside of them.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about. Their
frustration. That's what you were.
Yeah.
So, again, it's a whole rethinking. But it begins with being willing to learn how to do it differently. And of course, Donna has tons of resources for those that want to learn.
Well, you know, when a lot of times, we have several support groups at the Cain Center. Some are on Zoom, some are in person. We have one that's for men only as well. And that's been a huge hit. Mm. We're already outgrowing our boardroom. We don't want it to get too much bigger, but they really are able to talk to each other. But learning the rules, there's a document we give out all the time. It's called the 10 Absolutes, and it's written by a lady named Joe Huey, H-U-E-Y. And I can email them to anybody. I can send them out. I can mail them. But Joe, the number one is do not argue. I know right now you're wearing a blue plaid shirt. If I look at you and say, oh, Reverend Dave, I like your yellow shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you going to correct me? Are you going to, what are you going to say?
I am just going to say thank you.
Very good.
That's what I did with my mother-in-law.
Perfect. Yeah. It's great. That's a perfect, because in our human nature, we tend to, it's not yellow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, but then how do I feel? I feel stupid.
Yeah.
And I'm going to shut down and I'm not going to be involved in that group. It's overwhelming to be in a group. It's usually maybe you and your spouse, and now all of a sudden there's 10 people around the table.
Mm-hmm.
So people tend to withdraw. They tend to do what they have to do to save face. Mm-hmm. They don't want to embarrass themselves.
Survival.
Yes.
It's just survival.
Yes.
It is.
Humans, in human communication, and I've seen this at two people, I've seen it in a bigger group of people, we all come to the table with the idea we have to control to some degree the conversation, because we are about the business of not just giving information but getting it back. And in most cases, like the four of us here, we talk, you know, all before the program, we'll talk after it, we will engage in something like that. But that will not be a satisfactory mindset if you walk into a situation where you're going to have to interact with someone that has Alzheimer's dementia issues. It's not going to happen. And you're going to be dissatisfied and frustrated. And more than likely, that frustration is going to communicate to the loved one. And then that becomes a negative for them.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep, definitely.
Absolutely. And sometimes they need a little bit of time. I've done a lot of early stage support groups where you actually, where I would stay with the people with the memory changes. And they would tell us, we need time to process your question, process, give me a little time to answer. Usually if I say, hi, Ann, how are you today? You're going to respond immediately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But if you ask me,
how are you today, Donna?
Great. You know how long I waited? And everybody was like, is she going to answer? We're on radio. Yep. Why isn't she talking? Yep. Mm-hmm. I waited like less than 5 seconds.
Wow. It seemed like it was so much longer.
It did. Yep. It felt like 10 minutes, didn't it?
Yeah.
But think about that.
Yeah. You're right. I wanted to say we don't have anyone to answer the phone here today. So if you do have a question or a comment, you can email. I've got the computer set up here in the studio and opened up to our email file. And you can email a question. We won't mention your full name on the air. But if you have a question you have for Donna, you can email. It's WCNO@WCNO.com. And just put in the subject line, question for Donna. That's WCNO@WCNO.com. And again, the subject line, question for Donna. If it pops up, I'll bring it up. Okay? By the way, you may not have noticed we skipped the first break.
Yes.
I want to keep us rolling at 11:29.
Does that take mean another we took break. A break from the breaks?
We took a break from the breaks, yeah. Trying to set a good example, Ed, for all of my other fellow producers. Okay, Donna, take off where you were.
The person with a memory loss disorder is very much living in the moment. So bringing up past memories, I mean, it's good to talk about it. There's no issue with that, but expecting them to actually remember, that might not work so well. So you fill in the blanks for them, or if you have pictures, I would label the pictures grandson Michael, cousin Jane, you know, something like that, where you're like, do you know who that is in the picture? They might not even recognize themselves in the picture.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So you have to really stop and think. And people with memory loss disorders like routine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Routine works really well. And you have company coming, everything gets thrown off.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's hard for them to handle. So I would say, especially later in the afternoon when the sundowning starts, people get a little itchy or agitated. Mm-hmm. Make sure they have a private place, whether it's their room or someplace, even where somebody could go and sit with them, have a private one-on-one conversation.
Mm-hmm. Security.
Yes. You'll be very surprised that, you know, we have a daycare at the Kane Center, and we usually have, we might get 75 people. But a lot of people really want to meet. They want to meet with a social worker. They want to meet and talk about how they are feeling. Mm-hmm. They share so much information. And there's times when we really don't know if somebody is what we call a reliable reporter. Are they telling the whole truth, or is it off base a little bit? But we don't question them on that. We try, if we need specific information, we get it from somebody else privately, not in front of them.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point, because I've met so many people working as a hospice chaplain where my patient had dementia of one kind or another. And they, while I was there with the patient, they would come up and start asking questions or making comments.
In front of them,
assuming that because they weren't getting any cognition back from the patient, their loved one, that they weren't paying attention, that they weren't hearing, that they weren't connected in any way. Totally untrue, because, well, first of all, the last thing to go is hearing. And I've personal experience with that.
What?
Yeah, what?
So they can
well,
hear.
Okay, except for Ed.
Yeah,
except
for Ed.
but that this is something, and most people, you understand why they do this, but to be sensitive.
Yes.
This is a whole new area of sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just going to say, there are some people in families that will just say, well, I just won't be with them. I won't be near them. I won't be in the same room with them. But what about that? Is that a really good?
That seems so sad, right?
Yeah,
it is sad. And there are, you know what? There are some people that can't deal with it. And whether it's the pain, Ed, you talked a lot about the pain, the hurt. They're actually grieving.
Yeah.
Like your wife and her sister, and they're like, this is the mom who could do everything.
Right.
She took care of everything, and now she's You know, she really can't do that anymore. And it's very, very painful. Yeah. But if you learn to focus on the moment and what's happening right then, what makes them laugh? Mm. I mean, there's nothing like a good laugh together. It might be you doing a goofy dance. Who knows? It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, just get them to laugh and chime in and don't worry about them remembering that you just had that conversation. But I also thought, you know, like people ask about gifts for somebody with Alzheimer's or memory changes. There's a lot of different things. There's a lot of different ideas out there. And one of the, this was very interesting at our support group last week in person. One of the gentlemen whose wife is in a facility mentioned that he bought a baby doll at you know, one of the local stores for his wife, and she absolutely loved it. She would not let that. And she was pretty young and pretty, you know, not too long ago. I'd been talking about motorcycle riding and things like that. So it was it was a big change, but she just loved that baby, and she took it on as her own and everything else, and it was giving her a better quality of life. And another, sometimes you say, well, I'm not giving my loved one a baby doll or whatever. Yep. I would present it in a different way. I would say to somebody, look at what I got from my grandchild. Is this not adorable? Mm-hmm. You know, and then if they take it, they respond. We're not saying, hey, this is for you.
Yep.
They may or may not react well. We don't know.
Right.
But if you do that, same with books and things that have the different types of stimulation. You touch them and they crunch, make a crunchy noise, or they're fuzzy. This is what I got for my next door neighbor. Look at this. Is this not adorable? And if they're fascinated by it, let them keep it.
Let them keep it.
Yeah. Oh, I never heard that before.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a great intro.
Yeah.
And we've, and Ed and I have gone into nursing homes and assisted living with a lot of, with his memory care going on. And we see a lot of the residents there that will have something like that. They'll be older people. But the stuffed animals, the baby dolls, and maybe other things. Colorful magazines.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's stimulation. There's stimulation
there.
This
is all new to
me. It's all about stimulation.
Yes.
Okay.
As any dementia progresses, you know, they can still be stimulated.
Yes.
Do you remember, I don't know if you, I'm pretty sure you saw this video at one time and you can relate to it. Naomi File, you know who that is?
Yes.
Many people don't know that, but Naomi File, who was... I don't know if she invented affirmation therapy, but she certainly developed it.
Yes.
And it's essentially, you know, you're getting one-on-one with someone that's very profoundly in their dementia. And by making physical contact and by being kind of not in their face, but rather being within their field of view. And this one video I saw, Naomi was getting to sing a hymn. Mm. And while she was singing the hymn, I forget which one it was one we all know, and she was tapping the woman on the arm, just lightly tapping in the, to the beat of this hymn, and this woman then began to move her finger up on the arms of her chair.
It's beautiful.
And, you know, some people say, well, what's up with that? It says, well, what's up is you're reaching them at a deep place where they're still there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're giving them, you're making connectivity with them. They're able to come out as much as they can and be with you in that moment.
Yes.
They're not isolated at that stage.
Right.
It's very important.
That's a very powerful video with Naomi File, and she wrote Validation Therapy and books like that. And
Validation Therapy. I used the wrong phrase.
But you still, I mean, it was still correct, but all about entering their world.
Yeah.
And that's something we want to pull them into the real world. We want to make sure they know, you know, that it's Florida and it's Thanksgiving and you have to know Thursday's Thanksgiving and then Christmas is coming up. But it's like that's not their world necessarily.
Yeah.
No, so not anymore.
Let's give them a little bit of a break. And another animal, I'll be real quick at another animal that's been popular, or pet, a gift, is the... It's called Joy for All. It's one of the brand names that during COVID, our governor actually gave them away for free to residents of Florida because to help fight loneliness. You didn't have to have dementia, but it was either a cat or a dog. They had batteries, and if you, the little dog would bark if you walked by, a little bark, or you could mute him if you want. The cat would purr and roll over. And they're now on Amazon. I think they're about $100, but he was actually giving them away. Wow. It was such a beautiful, beautiful gift to any Florida resident. So that's a gift idea on the little pets. You can find so many things on Amazon. I think Ed wanted to say something. I know.
Well, let's hold on that. Let's take a break.
Coming, yeah.
And then we'll come right back.
Hello, this is Luke Lewis.
I'm Tiffany Young, and we're with Treasure Coast Realty Group. Join us every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for our show, Keeping It Real Estate.
We'll cover everything from getting you ready to purchase a home to sharing programs that help with closing costs and tips to sell your home hassle-free.
Plus, we'll dive into local market conditions, have special guests, and take your calls live on the air.
Don't miss this power-packed show to help you achieve your real estate goals. See you then.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
I love the way David plays the drums on that intro.
Well, you know, maybe those are that's the instrument I need to learn. You know, I'm trying to work on the guitar, and I've got the banjo in the background, but I'm still not getting too far. Anyway, but back to the subject at hand. And again,
I did have an observation I wanted to make. I noticed there was one memory care unit that I used to go to at one of the nursing facilities, and I won't call out names, and they were locked. The unit was locked, so I would get the pass and go through there. And if there were a group of them, I'd come in, and you know my sense of humor, you guys have picked up on that. Mm. But I'd start cracking jokes about things, and it was amazing how alert they got, and they would start responding, laughing and joking along with me, and it just amazed me. But when somebody else would sit and talk to them, they'd just kind of go mute, you know? But what I'm saying is there are certain parts of the mind, of the brain, that are still working well.
Yes.
And they can comprehend things that are not related to having to have memory, you know, relatives and places they've been and things like that. Without relating to that, other normal everyday conversation, they could comprehend. And it was really fascinated me that the disease would, which it is a disease, would leave the mind in that condition, that allow certain parts to work but other parts not to.
Well, it's an illness of the brain, which is an organ.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, if any organ begins to malfunction, you know, it'll do some things but not others.
Yeah.
And so the mind is intact.
Yeah.
You know, the spirit is intact, but it is the organ that processes all of these things, the thought, our abilities to communicate and understand, that's the thing that's sick and is slowly but surely deteriorating.
That's a good point. One of the things I think that we lose track of, and I'm going to bring in the spiritual aspect of it, is the soul and the spirit are still there, and we have to recognize that.
Yeah.
And we have to come alongside that and boost that up, bolster their soul and their spirit, and let them know that they're not alone. They may not be able to tell us, we know we're not alone because you're here, but I'm sure the feeling in their heart is going to be much stronger if we come alongside them instead of being opposed to them.
Yeah.
Which is what we're talking about. Oh, don't you remember this, don't you?
Yeah.
No.
Now, if you just tuned in, you kind of get an idea what we're talking about, but the title of this particular program is Christmas with Alzheimer's, but it really has to do with how do we deal with loved ones that we're going to be seeing maybe for the first time in a long time who have Alzheimer's, have had it for years maybe, but we don't see them every day. So we come to Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas dinner, whatever, and we see them and they really decline. We don't have any clue how they got there or who they are, and yet we're in their presence, and they're in our presence. And how do we deal with that? And so I'm going to kind of move us back to that earlier point, Donna. And let's assume that the listeners that are in most need of what we're talking about today are going to have that experience, and they've been worried about it. And they've heard us say a lot of things, and if they're frantically making notes, then they're wondering how they're going to have to incorporate all this in a short period of time. So maybe to getting back to what kind of attitude does this person need who is going to be in the presence of someone that has been declining because of Alzheimer's and another form of dementia?
I would say just be normal, treat them normal. But this is what I also like to teach. Everybody, and I see it on everybody in this room, everybody has a little sign on their forehead. I see it on Ed, I see it on Reverend Dave, I see it on you. It says, make me feel important. If we have a conversation around them and not to them, if we ask somebody else, oh, how is your husband doing today?
And he's right there.
He's right there. Ask him.
Yes.
And if it takes some time to respond, so what? Give them that time to respond. Just if you have stories to share, share the stories. Just do what you normally would do. You have good news to share, or you want to show pictures. Don't say, do you know who this is? Again, don't ask that test question. This is my daughter so-and-so, or this is my son. He just graduated from high school. You know, things like that where you're not testing them. You're showing them a lovely picture. And I think you had mentioned magazines or something, just came to my brain. Say you have somebody who was an architect, that was the profession. There's some beautiful picture books of like porches or houses or whatever. You can look at books like that together. You can share those, like, wow, what do you think of the build on this? Or how do you think, do you think this is wood? Or if you're listening to music, do you think that's a piano or a guitar? You know, something, you know, to try to foster some conversation.
Exactly. This is one thing, and the Lord showed me how to do when I was with hospice. And I would, it was mainly in facilities, nursing homes, and assisted living. And I could relate. I was not only able to reach out to my patients and their families, but also other residents. Because when you're there, there are other people that are lonely. Most of the people, or many of them anyway, in those environments don't have regular visits from family. And so I would just kind of sit down next to somebody and see where they were. I'll never forget. I love this because I so enjoyed this. And I know this was a guy, he was definitely, he was in the memory, it was a memory care, but he was still able to talk and relate. And he, of course, long-term memory, right? He was a guy, used to sell flooring. Now, I never sold flooring, but I kind of knew about retail. So we got to talking, and I had this regular encounter with this guy every time I went into this assisted living facility. And we would sit down, and it was like we got to the point where I was talking to him that he was retired, and I was a former coworker. And we would talk and talk about not just flooring, but leaders. He was a manager, so leadership stuff. He would give me pointers. But it was like, it was so much fun. But I also knew, I could see his eyes lit up. You know, and I had that kind of with many, many people that I would see in the facilities. We would find some common line of discussion, you know, with some ladies. It was their kids. And I had a daughter, so we'd talk about kids and all the permutations, you know. And that taught me a whole lot about whenever I sometimes have to, when I talk with Ed, I have to use that. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, right. Just kidding, Ed. Kidding. But it was a way. Now, someone, I shared this with someone, and they said, well, you're just making it up.
Poor Ed.
You're just making it up.
I love it.
And I said, yes, I am, but they're getting the benefit of it. Nobody's getting hurt here.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. The underlying thing is having compassion for the person, you know?
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
There's so many family members that the whole world revolves around them. They're the center of the universe. It's endemic in our society today. It's all about me, and don't worry about anybody else. You know, that's why this country's so divided right now. The country, the church, everything has become so divided. And the devil's loving it.
Yeah, so division that's is his thing.
The problem, though, is the self-centeredness in this country.
Well, a very delicate and touchy situation. I think we're talking about some facilities, whether they be assisted living with memory care or nursing homes with memory care. That's something people get confused about, too. Memory care can be in assisted or skilled nursing. Yeah. But it is usually secure, as you mentioned, Ed, because a person with a memory loss, they'll just walk out and put themselves in danger unknowingly. So we have to protect them from that.
That's right.
But I had a family one time who the kids were coming in, the grandkids were coming in, and my mom was in a nursing home. Now, she was younger. She was probably only in her 60s, early 70s, late 60s.
Wow.
And they didn't know what to do. Should they bring mom home? For should they bring her out of the nursing home? And in their case, I mean, it was a very loving, caring family that absolutely would have had mom there because mom loved Christmas and they knew mom would love that. But she didn't have the state of mind to be able to cope with it at the point she was in. And they made a short visit to the nursing home on the day of the holiday. It was probably Christmas or I don't remember, Christmas or Thanksgiving. Yeah. And just visit with her there, but saved her from what could have been extremely challenging for her at home with the kids running around and screaming and noise and, you know, things like that going in and out. It would have been too much. It would have been detrimental. So as much as it hurt the family to make that decision, they actually knew it was the better thing for mom.
Yep.
And that's a tough decision.
Well, is it true that change is one of the biggest deterrents to their comfort?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And they get to a point where they're at home where they are.
Right.
Yeah. And they want to go back home, and that's to the community or the facility.
Yeah. That's, and you know, we know some people are, everyone's different, you know, and we're offering hopefully some helpful things for you if you have a loved one who has dementia, maybe living with you, and these things will be helpful to you. Or again, you may be visiting them, having not seen them in a while, and you'll be appalled at the decline and their perhaps inability to communicate in the way you want them to communicate. And so I think one of the things we have to advocate is that you have to take that loved one, you have to change the way in which you see them, not in a negative way, but in the way in which you have to be the one to bridge the gap. There is a gap to be bridged. I mean, it's bridgeable, and everybody's different. But even if, and this is the thing, I'd said earlier that it's not about you, it's about them. If you have that attitude alone, if that's all you've got, but you go to that loved one at this family gathering, and you sit, just take some time to be with them personally, just sit and just be with them. Hold their hand, tell them you love them in so many ways. That alone tells them you love them. And if they're beyond conversation, you know, you can share, hey, Uncle Fred, remember when we went fishing and I fell out of the boat? You know, there might be a memory that he can access about that. Or if not, he might just laugh at the image. Or he might not do anything. The point is, he does not have to make you feel better.
Amen.
Your loved one is not required to make you feel better. But if you go in with that attitude, it's destructive, both for them and for you. So how about turning it around, being there for them? And then if anything comes out of that interaction, wonderful. But if not, you can assume that even though Uncle Fred or Aunt Violet or whoever is not communicating with you, but something is happening within them that's a blessing.
It brings back memories of Michael Verdi when we did the classes that he was doing with the hospice. He mentioned, we're not human doings, we're human beings.
Right.
And
as you said, just sit there or hold their hand or just comfort them, put your hand on their arm or whatever. Just something that they know you care.
Right.
They might not know what your first name is, but that's okay. You know who they are.
And you know, Alzheimer's is not contagious. So you can touch them.
Yes.
Let's take a break.
Amen.
Here is the first big question. What does the Bible actually say about heaven? What does it say? We all want to go there when we die, right? Mind you, we don't want to die to get there. This is Sam Chess from Grace Emmanuel Church inviting you to join us for the Grace Alive radio program every Friday and Saturday at 2 p.m. and twice on Sunday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. right here on WCNO.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecovered.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome back to the front line, and for those of you just tuning in, we are in conversation with Donna True, who works very hard today. I mean, diligent, great investment of skills and gifts, and very hard for elderly folks at the Martin County Council on Aging at the Kane Center is where she's found most of the time, not all the time. She's here today, and what a blessing we have to have you with us. Every time we do this and we invest an hour, you know, I keep thinking, gosh, we're just tapping into. We're just scratching the surface. But particularly the theme today is all Christmas with Alzheimer's. And but it has to do with our loved ones who have Alzheimer's or some other form of dementia. And, of course, they're declining, maybe living with us, maybe they're in a facility. But at family gathering times like Christmas, like you know, Thanksgiving and other times like that, when they're going to be present, is how should we mm-hmm. respond to them being present? Because they're members of the family. They're there. They're not going to communicate like they used to. And we talked about learning different ways of communicating with them and loving on them and not expecting them to perform for us.
Yeah. I think what you just said, not expecting them, mm-hmm. I think expectations are a huge, 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 huge thing. Yeah. And education is as well. And there is so much education, whether it's 24/7 available. I mean, we have Zoom support groups. We have all different kinds of things. But I wanted to say this. A person with dementia, no matter what the cause, and we keep saying dementia or Alzheimer's, but Alzheimer's happens to be the most common cause of dementia. Okay. Mm. So it's physical amyloid plaques and tau tangles in the brain. But so there's a lot of different dementias. So let's just lump it all together. But picture your loved one who has been noticed to have short-term memory loss disorder. Picture their brain in a cast. Mm. Now, a person with Alzheimer's, they might be in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. They're all different ages, and they can look very normal, just like any one of us. Mm-hmm. You cannot tell by looking at a person whether or not they have Alzheimer's disease. So picture this. You see two gentlemen. One has a cast on his leg, and he's using crutches, and one is carrying an umbrella. Which of those two gentlemen would you ask to help you carry this big screen TV up the steps?
Yeah, good
pretty
question.
Obvious,
yeah,
right? Right. Yes. It's obvious.
Yes. Yes.
Dementia is not obvious. Mm. So sometimes tuck down deep, have expectations that they may or may not remember. If they're known to have some type of dementia, they're not typically going to remember unless you want them to forget something. Mm-hmm. It's very uncanny. This ability is like, wait, how do they remember that when they don't remember what I mm-hmm. told them that we're going to the doctor in 10 minutes? Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. that type of thing. So it's just...
And often that judgment, we forget that we do the same thing.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
We have selective
Absolutely.
Memory. I see some people are trying to call in, and if you're trying to reach the show, there's nobody out there to answer your phone. And I know how to answer them, but I'm here running a live program, so I will not leave the studio. You can send an email to WCNO at WCNO.com. That's WCNO at WCNO.com. I've got the computer open here in the studio, and if you will send one while we're still on the air, I'll be happy to read a comment or a question for Donna. Okay? Back to it. We have no more breaks. So we're good
no
there.
No more breaks?
No, until we end.
We took a break for breaks again.
The big break is at the end. We have to go to the top of the hour. But, yeah, well, just keep going, Donna.
Well, I was thinking even back to the line of gifts again, if somebody wants to get a gift, you know, most people don't need things at some point in their life. They have all the things that they need. They don't need a candle that could cause a fire. Maybe it's the kind that'll run on batteries that turn on and off automatically. Yeah. Or maybe a nice motion detector nightlight that can make a big difference for somebody. So the light comes on if they get up and have to try and find their way to where they are. So different picture books that are, there's beautiful, beautiful, and they're not childish. There's beautiful books, whether it's butterflies or other countries like the National Geographic. They're famous for their photographs and everything else. Things like that where you're able to give them quality of life, because that's what you're working on, quality of life. And then with the family members, again, part of it is education, just being a good observer sometimes, taking things in. Know that it's painful, that it hurts to see a loved one decline, and that's grieving. They're very much alive, but you grieve. And there's, as you well know from hospice, five stages of grief, and that's denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And you gave us a beautiful example of acceptance at the very beginning when you talked about how you went and visited with your mother-in-law. That's acceptance. This is my mother. I'm just going to have a normal conversation with her. I'm not going to. And it went beautifully.
Yeah, it did.
You know, getting back to gifts for a minute, and the thing I remember that I've seen done so many times is, and this would be something that between now and Christmas, most people could put together. If you haven't seen a loved one in a long time, and you know, and they have Alzheimer's, dementia, and let's say you now are aware that they're not going to be that person that's going to have memories that they can access. And because you haven't been in, maybe you have talked to them on the phone and you've told them, you know, kids are growing up, we've done this traveling and all this. Well, I've seen people do this. I even did it for my sister who was living with us. Put together a picture book, photographs, updated. You can take them with your phone, for crying out loud, and print them out of all of you with names underneath. And then, did you go on a trip that was fun? Maybe you told them about it, maybe you didn't, but you have pictures from the trip, three or four pictures. Talk about the trip, what you did, how much fun it was. And don't ask them if they remember doing similar things. Just give them that stimulation. You might be surprised at their responses.
Yes, yes, I love that.
And it's personal.
Yes.
You didn't go to a store. You couldn't get this at a store.
Right.
It came right out of your heart.
Yep. Right. Exactly.
Anyway, well, let's not fall into silence, folks.
Yeah. Oh, no. But some of the questions, we're all thinking.
I know. We're thinking. You can hear our thinking out there.
When somebody gets there, what you might see, if somebody's in the earlier stages, there can be a lot of repeating, same questions, same things. And that's normal. Because they have forgotten. And again, think about your expectations. Picture their brain in a cast. So, and if any of you have lived in the Stewart area for a while, you kind of, you know about, before we had the new Roosevelt Bridge, we had the old Roosevelt Bridge. And you never knew for sure when that bridge was up or when it was down or when it was working or when it was broken.
That's before I got here.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. You didn't have a way. It was a long way around bridge was broken. But think about, that's how the brain cells work when it comes to Alzheimer's. Sometimes the connection is made between the brain cells and the neurons, and sometimes it isn't. That's why at times they're perfect. Or they have perfect company manners. The wife is telling him that he's this and he's that, and the company gets there, and he is as charming and perfect as can be for those 5 minutes.
Amen. For those 5 minutes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
You know, I'm reminded of the movie Notebook, because I don't know very many people who have dementia or Alzheimer's, so that's why I'm a little quiet on this show, because I'm learning. But the wife would all of a sudden just remember. And then she'd remember, and then she'd go back to her condition. Is that how we are to expect people who have that?
That can certainly happen. Okay. Yeah, they can have total moments of lucidity, and it's beautiful. Those are gifts. But it sometimes gets, the caregivers or the care partners are like, oh, they're better. And then there's a letdown because it's a roller coaster ride. It's ups and downs.
I remember my mother-in-law, when one word she used when this whole first started, I used to love it. She says, "My memory isn't working."
That's cute.
Yeah. My memory.
So Donna, I always hate to get to this point in the program where I say time's almost up. And I don't see any contacts from folks on the computer, so we may not, probably won't have any questions. But we've talked a lot about resources, and I'd like for people listening now and get ready to, if you can write this down, to do so. And if you can't, if you call the station, not now, no one can answer your call, as I say, but get information on how contact information for Donna. And if you're obviously not in Martin County, Donna can connect you with Council on Aging entities where you are, and any other resources that she has available that she realizes would be helpful to you. So how can they reach out to you, Donna?
I'll give you the general number for the Council on Aging Martin County at the Kane Center, and that is area code 772-223-7800. Once again, that's 772-223-7800. And all calls can be transferred. My number directly is 772-223-7879. So the last four, 7879, goes right to my desk. If I'm not there, I don't answer the phone.
But you have voicemail.
I have voicemail, yes.
That was brilliant.
Yeah, so we have so many different things. I mean, we have daycare, we have Brain Matters Research, we have primary care, we have doctors, we have a geriatrician, we have lots of fun activities for seniors, we have our adult daycare, so many, many things.
And I think because people are going to start having a swirl in their head about, gosh, I'm hearing all that, but I'm not making... So let me suggest this. If you are let's say you're a senior, you're not, maybe Alzheimer's dementia is not on your radar, but you have some questions about what's available for you as a senior, and you can call Donna. And so rather than, you know, just say I have this needs, is there any way they can be met? I have this interest, is there any way that I can satisfy this through the resources of the Council on Aging? Or any other resources you know about. Yeah. So use that number to call Donna. Yeah. Now also, the Kane Center has a website, does it not?
Yes. Yes, we sure do. The website is, I'll say it fast first. Okay. It's coamartin.org. So it's C for council, O for council, on.
Yeah.
A for aging, Martin, MARTIN.org. coamartin.org.
Okay, and then they can...
We have lots of information and some videos from when we did caregiver workshops and things like that. So we do a lot of education as well. Good. And caregivers really have to learn this new set of rules to be successful and to keep themselves healthy as well as their loved one. So we care about the caregivers.
At some point down the road, I know we're going to come back on this program to maybe pay special attention to caregivers' resources. Because we always, as you know, every time we do the program like this, Donna, and you get calls.
Yes.
From people. I never knew that. You know, thank you for that information. Because it's just under, and it's not criticizing people. You know, I don't know stuff. But I hear someone talking about resources, and suddenly, light bulb goes on. And then I'll pursue it. So Donna's there as a resource. Again, if you're another county, because we go into 12 counties, if you can't find your Council on Aging resource in your county, by whatever means you find phone numbers, Donna would be happy to talk to you.
Absolutely.
And help give you some guidance. Because that's what she's there for. And, you know, you need to know. You need to know. Time's almost up. Donna, just have to thank you for being here again with us.
Thank you for having me. It's been really fun, too. We have
had a good time.
Four of us.
Yeah,
yes.
We did.
Yes. Yep. A lot of good experience. Thank you.
And I'm particularly thankful that, you know, God has enabled us to bring some real substance to meet the needs that people have of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know lives have been touched and changed today, and I thank God for that.
Hallelujah.
Thank you all for being with us today. We'll be back next week, same time, same station, I hope.